Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
New guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics suggest a big change to how childhood obesity will be treated. They recommend lifestyle changes and medication to suppress appetite for kids as young as 12, and surgery to remove part of the stomach for those as young as 13. Let's talk through those guidelines with Mary Savoy DeSanti. She's a registered dietitian and associate director for pediatric obesity at Yale New Haven Children's Hospital. Mary, hello.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me on today.
These are the first childhood obesity guidelines I gather in more than a decade. So can we start with what professionals have learned? There had been this long practice of waiting in cases of childhood obesity, delaying treatment to see if young people can overcome obesity.
So waiting has not worked. You know, I want to say that we have several tools now that we're hoping could help pediatricians so that they don't have to wait. Usually when patients come into the specialty clinic that I work at, they have already, you know, tried several lifestyle events already. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we have something sort of in our back pocket to help them with, but we always use lifestyle first.
Culturally, obesity in children and adults has often been seen as a personal failure, lifestyle choices, personal choices. What does the evidence tell us?
So the evidence tells us that it is not just a lifestyle problem. It is childhood obesity is not a keep your mouth shut, put your fork down problem. It's a very complex, chronic disease that now the NIH and the American Medical Association has finally designated it as a disease. We know that it's not a simple thing anymore. You know, there's genetic factors that are playing a role. There is socioeconomic, there's environmental, there's psychological, there's physiological factors. There's not one culprit, Scott, and that is what makes it so complex.
Okay, so to the guidelines, as far as the early treatment, early interventions, what's kind of at the top of the list?
So what's at the top of the list is first doing lifestyle intervention. If that doesn't work after so much time, then we would think about a pharmacological approach or perhaps a bariatric surgery approach if the BMI is quite elevated.
The body mass index. That's today's kind of main modern measurement for obesity. Yeah?
Exactly. And I want to point out that we're not talking about a child who's 20 pounds overweight. You know, we're talking about a child who might be 100 pounds overweight.
And there are people listening who are wondering, medication for a 12-year-old, potential surgery for a 13-year-old. In what instances does that make sense?
We know childhood obesity is a chronic problem. It's creating havoc on the body. And so after you've done some lifestyle interventions, such as eating better, exercising more, we may have a child who's done this for a year, 2 years. So we are just thrilled that we have these tools now available.
Mary, you're laying out these potential benefits of these interventions, medications, weight loss, surgery. What are the risks? What are the side effects?
So, Scott, sometimes there are no side effects, but often with a pharmacological agent, you can have a GI upset. So you can have some nausea. But generally, we try to give the patient medication slowly. So we will increase the dose very slowly so that these effects don't even happen. And our goal is to give a child the lowest dose possible with the greatest effect. And with bariatric surgery, they're learning how to sort of re-eat because they can't eat the way they were, you know, previously.
And as some of these interventions, the bariatric surgery, these modern medications, I imagine some of these are pricey. Will they be accessible to all, to most?
So being accessible to most is a problem because the insurance companies are not covering a lot of these pharmacological agents. So although the policy is now there that we can use these things, childhood obesity is a disease generally of a lower socioeconomic category to begin with. Our patients cannot afford $1,300 a month to go on a GLP-1 analog such as Ozempic.
Yeah. Well, that's one challenge. The other challenge is, I guess, achieving some results here, Mary. How do you think about success and how to measure it? Right now, nearly 20% of kids and teens in this country are classified as obese.
Yeah, so we imagine success as decreases in body mass index. So body mass index is weight divided by height. BMI is not the best measurement, but it is for now the best measurement that we have and a very convenient measurement. We know with every unit decrease in body mass index, a person is further away from risk factors for diseases. And so even if a child doesn't gain any more weight as they're growing, their body mass index would decrease. And of course, we try to work on self-esteem with the child as well. That's another success story for us.
That's Mary Savoy-DeSanti, a registered dietitian and associate director for pediatric obesity at Yale New Haven Children's Hospital. Mary, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Scott. Have a great day.